Turn in your Bible with me to Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9, and John chapter 14. Looks a little dark out there. Can you guys see? Yes, can you see? Hey, and the Lord said, amen. Isaiah chapter 9, and also place your finger over in John chapter 14. For those of you who are guests with us this morning, because you have traveled to be with your family for Christmas, I welcome you. I thank you for being here. We have a number of our own folks who are traveling as well. I want to thank Billy Barnes for filling in for Wally Black, as Wally is, I don't want to say where Wally is. I'm not speaking to Wally right now. Because he's gone, nothing is wrong with us. He's just gone. He is enjoying a vacation in Hawaii, so bless him for that. Let's stand as we begin in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The word of the Lord says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." Let's turn now to John 14, beginning in verse 25. "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You've heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that you, the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up. Let's go from here." Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that as we now open it, you will speak to our heart and mind. Lord, help us to have a better understanding of who you are, how you work in our lives, and Lord, deepen and grow our love for you, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. We've read these wonderful verses of peace, and this morning we are focusing on Christ as the Prince of Peace. Let me read something else to you about peace, another idea. When things go wrong in our life and we encounter difficult situations, we tend to regard the situation itself as the problem. But in reality, whatever problems we experience come from the mind. If we were to respond to difficulties with a positive or peaceful mind, they would not be problems for us. Indeed, we may even come to regard them as challenges or opportunities for growth and development. Problems arise only if we respond to situations with a negative state of mind. Therefore, if we want to transform our life and be free from problems, we must learn to transform our mind. Sufferings, problems, worries, unhappiness, and pain all exist within our mind. They are all unpleasant feelings, which are part of the mind. Through controlling and purifying our mind, we can stop them once and for all. How do you like that? Does that appeal to your heart? Does that seem as though it is true? Do you know I got that paragraph off of a Buddhist website? That is what the Buddhist would say about issues and problems that we encounter in this life. You know, what I find interesting about this thought process is the idea that inner peace is a man-made product. You can develop peace yourself by having the right state of mind, by purifying the mind. I don't doubt that some who subscribe to that way of thinking have some sort of peace at some portion of their lives. But according to the logic of this statement, any difficulties that you have in your life, problems, situations, hardships, tribulation, anything is derived from impure thoughts in your mind. I don't know about you, but I have to deal with tribulations and hardships and situations and difficulties that I don't even think about. How about you? We all have to deal with things that we give no thought to, whether our mind is pure or not. Jesus, however, gives a much different picture regarding peace. Peace in the inner man. Peace in the heart and mind. In John 16, verse 33, he said this, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." You know, what Christ says to us in this verse is that because you are alive, because you are in the world, you will have problems. You will have issues and trials and sufferings and situations that aren't pleasing to your life. But as a believer in Christ, you will face these things whether you're thinking about them or not, whether you're thinking wrongly or rightly. But he says, in me and in me alone will you have, during the course of tribulations and trials and difficulties and unpleasant circumstances, only in me will you have peace. And me alone. You see, he says, I have overcome the world. The world is nothing to me. The problems and the situations that arrive within this world in your life, they are not bigger than I am, because I have overcome this world. He is the source of true peace in your life. Let me take a moment to clarify what kind of peace I'm talking about. Usually, when we hear the word peace, we are coming to it with the understanding of the lack of conflict. No conflict between me and someone else. In the Word of God, Romans 5:1, Paul talks about the conflict between sinful people and a holy God. But he says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a peace, that is a harmony or friendship between two warring factions, two groups that cannot get along. And so the Word of God says that Christ has come to give us peace with God, because a holy God cannot have a relationship with unholy people. This kind of peace is what we most often think about. But here our Savior is speaking about peace within the inner man, peace in the heart, and peace in the mind. Peace during difficulties and the most challenging situations in our life, that we might have peace in the Lord as we go through the storm. Remember what he said, in this world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome this world. The verb rendered overcome indicates victory. Jesus has defeated the prince of this world. That decisive battle has been waged, and it has been won in Jesus Christ. So what is he saying here to his disciples and to us? Well, for his disciples, he gave them what the world could not give them. He gave them real peace, because they were about to enter into a time of great uncertainty, tribulation, difficulty. And he knew that. And so he says here, I'm giving you my peace. What I want to encourage you with today and remind you of today, that friend, Jesus is still giving you his peace. Jesus is still the one, the only one, who can give you the inner peace of heart and mind as you go through this life that is promised to be filled with difficulties in this world. Preacher, I want to live in peace. How do I do that? Well, let me just say, I'm not big on how-to sermons. I don't do how-to. But I want to share with you some principles from the Word of God this morning that you can allow to be used in your life so that at every moment of your life, you can know the peace that only Christ can give. If you're taking notes, let's begin here. Peace is effected through faith in Jesus. Peace is effected, put into practice, made real through faith in Jesus. He says in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Let's go to verse 1 of this chapter. "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Verse 10, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? These words I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work." Verse 12, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." Verse 29, "Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." Now in verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave to you." Now to whom was Jesus giving his peace? Well, in the context of our passage, obviously, he is leaving his peace to his disciples who would later become the apostles. Now in our day, Jesus gives his peace to those who have trusted in him as Lord and Savior of their life. That those are the ones to whom he gives his peace. Now at this point, we would do well to remind ourselves of the context of this discourse. Now Jesus has gathered his disciples in the upper room, and he begins to engage them in a conversation about their faith. You see, he knew that his crucifixion was coming soon, but they did not know that. He knew that their faith would be severely tested, but they did not know that. And so he says there in verse 1 of chapter 14, "Do not let your heart be troubled." It's the same thing he says in verse 27. "Do not let your heart be troubled." Now the idea of trouble here is that of inward commotion, unsettledness within your heart, within your mind, within your body. You have that unsettledness, that uneasy feeling, that lack of peace. Now, what reason would the disciples have at this point to be troubled? Well, by looking at the entire context of this discourse, we go back even to chapter 13, and we see that Jesus told this group of believers, these disciples, these men who had left everything and followed after him for nearly 3 years. He told them very clearly, very plainly, one of you is going to betray me. He told them, I'm leaving you. And where I'm going, you cannot follow. He looked at Peter, the most passionate, the most bold disciple. He looked at him and said, before the sun comes up, you will deny me 3 times. They had reason to be troubled. What they knew, their security, the peace that they had with being with Christ, was about to come to an end. And not only that, those among the group would not only betray him, but desert him as well. Do not let your heart be troubled, he said. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Christ is making the connection here that peace in your life is directly related to your faith in him. Peace, real peace in your life is directly related to your believing in him. One thing we might forget about the disciples at this point is that they were Jews. They were Jews. They had a Jewish understanding of the Messiah. They believed that the Messiah would be a political leader. You remember the conversation of those two disciples on the road to Emmaus we looked at just a few weeks ago. The conversation that they were having, and then Christ unknowingly came up to them and engaged them in further conversation. And then they said to him that we were hoping. He, speaking of the Lord Jesus, that they were speaking to but didn't know it. We were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. But Jesus had a different purpose in coming, didn't he? He did not come to this earth in order to bring peace between nations. In order to bring peace to Israel. So that they would have peace among the country surrounding them, so that the Romans would no longer be controlling them. He did not bring his peace in order for men to be okay with each other, but he brought his peace. He came to this earth so that sinful people might be at peace with a holy God, so that we might know our Creator, know the God who has created us. Four times in the Gospels, he told his disciples, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. He said this to his disciples. This was the true mission of the Messiah. And friends, until they fully understood and believed the full purpose of Christ's coming, they would not and did not have inner peace in their life. They had peace when they were with Christ. But when Christ was gone, what do? Where do we go? What is going to come of our life now? Do you know the same reality applies to your life as well? The same reality. Until you have complete faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior over all of your life, you will still struggle with peace. But I'm a believer, preacher. Great. Is Christ Lord of all of your life? Have you given Him all of your life? Do you allow Him to be Lord of the trials and tribulations and the difficulties and the struggles that you go through? Do you allow Him to be Lord of all of your life? He said in 16:33, John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you so that in me you might have peace. Where is peace found? Peace is found in Christ and Christ alone. No other place. You may say, I have peace in my heart, I have peace in my mind. Well, friend, that will end if it's not the peace of Christ. Because something will come and make you unsettled and troubled in life. One of the clearest examples of God-given Christ-honoring peace is found in the Scriptures in Acts chapter 7, here we find the story of Stephen. Stephen, full of grace and truth, grace and power, falsely accused of blasphemy against God, testifying before the Sanhedrin. Stephen, full of grace and power, what does he do? He preaches the gospel there. He is brought into the council before the rulers, the Pharisees. And he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ there, and the Word of God says that they could not cope with His wisdom and spirit with which He was speaking. And so they became enraged at Stephen, had a trial, had a conviction, and led him out to stone him. And while he is being stoned, the Word of God says this: Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And they went on stoning Stephen as he called to the Lord. And he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice. And friends, this is full, complete trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ over every moment of your life. He said this: "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And then he fell asleep. Stephen being murdered, killed slowly, stone by stone, looks up and in the peace of Christ, he says, "Lord, don't hold this against him. Don't hold this against him." Only the peace that Jesus gives, which, by the way, this is a present tense verb. Christ gives his peace and he continues to give his peace. Every day of your life, he will provide the peace that you need in life. Only the peace that Jesus gives will allow you to be without trouble in a troubled world. Will you have trouble in this life? Yes, Jesus says you will. That's a promise. You will have difficulties and troubles, but can you have peace during those times? Yes, because God, Christ, gives it and continues to give. Well, preacher, what do I have to do? You must place full faith in Christ. It's not only Savior of your life, but Lord, Lord of all of your life. Peace is effected through faith in Jesus. Peace in Christ is exercised through obedience to the commands of Jesus. Let's look again in the Word. Let's look beginning in verse 15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," he says. Verse 21, chapter 14. "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." Now, it might seem a little strange to connect peace with obedience. But you know, in reality, when we are obedient, we are at peace, correct? When we obey the laws of the land, we are at peace with the laws of the land. Children, when you obey your parents, you are at peace with your parents. When you obey your pastor, you're at peace with him, amen? Lots of coughing going on back there. Thought I'd throw that in to see if you're awake. If you obey the commands of Christ, you are at peace with Christ. In chapter 14, he says here three times, "If you love me, if you love me, you will keep my commandments." The beginning of this chapter, Jesus commanded his disciples to believe in God. Now, from a Jewish understanding, they understood believe in God. They understood that. You see, they understood God to be Lord and Master of their lives. In other words, they understood that God was the one who told them what to do, and they were obedient and followed. This is what we find in the Old Testament. When the people of Israel obeyed God, they had peace with Him, didn't they? And they had peace with those living around them. When they obeyed the Lord, they understood God was Lord, Master, and they were the servants. But notice what Jesus does here. He commands them, believe in God. That's a command. But He also says, believe in Me. Interestingly enough, this isn't a command. He's not commanding them to believe in Him. This is just a simple call from Christ to the disciples and us today. You believe that God is Lord and Master of all. Believe also in Me, because I am God. I'm Lord and Master of all. I'm Lord of your life. How did they believe in God? As Master of their lives. How are they to believe in Christ? As Master of their lives. This clearly points to the fact that as believers in Christ, we are the servants of Christ. We are His servants. Friends, you cannot have Christ as Savior of your life and not have Him as Lord of your life. You must have Christ as both Savior and Lord. If you just have one or the other, you have neither, friend. You must have both. But this is typical of a Lord and servant relationship. The Lord says, do this, and the servant obeys. You don't have to love someone to serve them, do you? How many of you really love your boss? Well, good for you. We don't have to love someone to serve them. We don't have to love our supervisor to be a good employee. That's not required. But look what Jesus says. If you love Me, if you love Me, you will obey or keep My commandments. The powerful reality here is that Jesus is not asking us to do anything that He Himself has not done. Look in 14:31. But so the world may know that I love the Father. You hear that? But so the world may know that I love the Father. I do exactly as the Father commanded Me. Jesus love the Father. And because Jesus loved the Father, He could obey the commands of the Father. Jesus could obey to the point even of emptying Himself of all of His glory and coming to earth and being born in a manger, clothing Himself in flesh, becoming a bond servant, as Paul so beautifully wrote in Philippians chapter 2. He left heaven's throne and manifested Himself as a baby in a manger during the Last Supper. John chapter 13, during the Last Supper, took His outer garments off and wrapped Himself in a towel, took a basin of water, and went and washed the disciples' feet. How could the King of Glory perform the lowest level of service to His own creation? Washing feet in that day is not like washing feet in our day. Their feet were dirty, filthy. It wasn't something that was easily done, but Christ loved the Father. And He obeyed Him. You know, I'm quite confident that in your walk with the Lord, you have disobeyed Him. Amen? Anyone? Anyone? All right. And I'm quite confident that when you disobeyed him, you did not have peace in your heart. Is that true? Amen? And I'm quite confident that I can say that the reason you disobeyed your Lord was directly related to yourself. Directly related to the fear that you might, that you had in obeying the commands of Christ. So because of that fear, you chose self-love over Christ-love. What is fear? Fear is timidness or cowardice. You are fearful. And because you are fearful, you are disobedient. And ultimately, disobedience demonstrates a lack of love for Christ. Now, wait a minute, preacher. I love Jesus. I love the Lord. I don't doubt that you do, friend. But when you choose self over Christ, you love yourself more. And you're disobedient to the Lord. Thus, the lack of peace when we choose self-love over Christ's love. Well, preacher, I do love Jesus. I do want to be obedient. I do want to serve Him. But sometimes I am afraid to do what He's called me to do. Friends, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians 4, 13. I want to read this verse in context so that we get a full understanding here. Beginning in verse 10, Paul wrote, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived me, you revived your concern for me, indeed that you were concerned before, but you had lacked opportunity. Now that I speak from, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." That's peace, contentment. "I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share in my affliction." Let me tell you what this verse does not say. This verse does not say that you can do all things through Christ. You can do whatever you want to do through Christ who strengthens you. That's not what that verse says. This verse says that you can do all things that Christ has called you to do through Him who gives you strength. So if Christ has called you, you can obey and demonstrate your love for Christ because He gives you the strength to do it. He takes away that fear. Do you trust in the Christ, in the strength of Christ to do what He's called you to do? Do you sincerely trust in His strength? "If you love me," He says, "you will obey my commands." Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you say it? Do you tell Him, "Jesus, I love you"? It's a little weird at first, but you get used to it. "Jesus, I love you. And I want to obey you." Inner peace in a hostile world comes through obedience to Christ. Finally, peace is evident through the presence of the Holy Spirit of Jesus in your life. It is effected through faith, exercised through obedience, and evident through the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. John chapter 14, verse 16. "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever." Galatians 5:22 speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He has not only given us His peace, but He's given us His Spirit so that we may know His presence in our lives. In this discourse, Jesus introduces something. He introduces the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, He said, will be a helper to you, or comforter, as some of your texts say, and a guide through this life. We get our English word comfort from this word found in this text. When we think of the word comfort, what do we usually think about? Well, on a cold day like today, we think about a warm bed as being comfortable, right? Or a nice soft blanket to wrap around us while we're watching a football game and eating ice cream. Oh, y'all like that, did you? Those are the things we think about when we think about being comfortable. But the Holy Spirit wasn't sent to make you comfortable, friend. This word comes from two Latin words meaning with strength. The Holy Spirit has come to strengthen your life, to strengthen you, to give you peace as you walk through this life promised with trials and difficulties and circumstances that you don't like. The Holy Spirit, Christ, is given to give us strength as we go day to day through this life. What great love the Lord has shown to us. He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you without my presence. But I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit to guide you through life. And as you pray, and as you are in the midst of a difficult circumstances, and you cry out to the Lord, Lord, help me. What do I do? How do I traverse this situation? The Holy Spirit is there to bring to your mind, to bring to your heart, God's answer. And friend, as you follow the leadership of the Spirit in your life, who is strengthening you to walk without fear and to not be troubled, the Spirit of God will lead you through step by step how you are to work through those circumstances. What a blessing the Lord has given us. What a blessing is given to us in His presence. Chuck Swindoll tells a story about he and one of his grandchildren. He said this. He said, I remember one night I was watching a couple of our grandchildren. It was late in the evening. But since, as grandfathers usually do, he says, I was letting them stay up late. And we were playing games, messing around, having a good time. And then suddenly a knock at the door pierced all of that. He said immediately one of his grandsons just grabbed his leg and wouldn't let go. You can imagine what this looked like. Because he told his grandson, he said, it's going to be okay. And then the knock came again. And then he made his way over to the door. Now, picture this, right? You've been there, dragging the child behind you. Well, he opened the door, and it turned out to be a friend of one of his sons. And they talked and had a good discussion. The friend said he had just come into town and wanted to stop by and say hello. Well, after the conversation was over, he shut the door, and his grandson was still clinging to his leg. And that little boy looked up into the eyes of his grandfather, and he said, Bubba, we don't have anything to worry about. Everything's fine. You know why he was strong, Swindoll asked? He said, because he was holding on to my leg. He was holding on to me. Friend, when you're holding on to Christ, you will have peace in this life. When you're trusting in the complete authority and lordship of Christ in every part of your life, you will have peace. When you're obedient to do what He's called you to do, you will know the peace of Christ. When you call out to Him and ask Him for guidance and direction, how to get through those difficult circumstances, He will lead you in His path of peace. And you can fully trust in all that He says. Christ is the giver of peace. And He continues to give every day of your life. Who is your source of peace? Is it your inner thoughts? The purifying of the mind? Or is it the Lord Jesus who's overcome the world? Father, we thank You for today in this moment. We thank You for Your word and the truth that You've shared with us, Lord, that You are the giver of peace, inner peace, real peace in a hostile world. Father, I pray that each one here, Lord, will truly know the peace of Jesus Christ. It's in His wonderful, mighty, everlasting name I pray. Amen. Real peace in a troubled world is possible, but it is possible through only one person, Jesus Christ. Friend, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life today? Do you know the peace that only Christ can give? If you don't, I want to invite you to come. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing a hymn of invitation. I invite you to come. There will be those here who can help you with that decision. Maybe you are entering into a time where you know the Lord has called you to serve Him in some area, but you're feeling fearful, troubled over that. Allow Christ to give you the peace that you need, you're looking for, so that you can serve Him and love Him instead of loving yourself. Maybe you're in one of those difficult situations in life, and you just need to cry out to the Lord, Lord, help me. Give me direction. Give me the strength to be obedient, to follow Your direction. Whatever it might be, friend, I pray that you will do. Respond to the Lord as He speaks to your heart this morning. Let's stand and sing. Billy, lead us.